Hello there, you're listening to The Box Office Show. I'm Ryan Hill.
And I'm Dylan Johnson. Today we're going to talk about the box office numbers from last weekend and our box office predictions for this upcoming weekend.
We will also be doing predictions for the Oscars 2024, where we will be making our picks for what we think will win at the ceremony and what we think should win.
Now we can do our box office breakdown for February 23rd to the 25th. Coming in first place, yet again, Bob Marley, One Love, with $13.5 million.
Demon Slayer to the Hashira Training, coming in second with $11.5 million.
Followed by Ordinary Angels with $6.1 million.
Madam Web has fallen down to fourth place with $5.9 million.
And Illumination's Migration is behind that with $2.8 million.
Argyle, $2.7 million.
Wonka still holding on, $2.5 million.
Driveaway Dolls came out and got only $2.4 million.
So the Beekeeper. The Beekeeper with $1.9 million for Jason Statham.
And then The Chosen, Season 4, Episodes 4 through 6, $1.8 million, once again on the top 10.
That's right. And for this upcoming box office weekend, March 1st to the 3rd, the big movie coming out is, of course, Dune 2, which is on my roster for the 2024 box office draft. Ryan, thoughts on how much you think it's going to make?
I think it might double the opening of the first Dune.
No shot. You really think so? You really think that's going to happen? If that happened, would you be crushed?
I'll tell you what, Dylan.
Beaten by your own movie? A movie that I haven't even seen yet? Wouldn't that be
this
horrible?
This thing, which, I mean, it totally should. I hope it makes an incredible amount of money, but not enough. I hope the films on my roster make even more so I can beat you. But if you... I just can't believe that you took Dune away from me. Arrakis.
Should be quicker.
But, yeah, I think it'll... make a huge, huge splash, as it should.
Exactly. Now let's move on to our main topic of discussion, our Oscar predictions for the 2024 Oscar ceremony, which are coming up this weekend. We are going to go through one by one through the categories, and we are going to list out the nominees, and we are going to say who we think will win, making our official predictions, and who we would want to win, who we think should win. So, yes. Ryan?
And we will also be keeping track of the Oscars draft, so we can make the official tally of how many nominations that we have before going into next weekend, so we can take a stock of what we actually need to get as far as wins in order to clinch victory for this year's Oscar draft.
Yes. Now, for the most part, most of the nominees in the major categories come from the 10 Best Picture nominees. Of course, there are a few strays, but Ryan, did you see all 10 of the Best Picture nominees this year?
I have not yet.
What were your gaps?
The same gaps that there were when we did our top 10 list. I still haven't seen American Fiction or Zone of Interest.
Ah, okay.
Have you seen all 10?
I have seen all 10, yes.
There you go. Look at that.
So my input will be more valuable than yours. All right, let's begin. Let's start with Best Supporting Actor. Let's list out the nominees. It's Sterling K. Brown for American Fiction, Robert De Niro for Killers of the Flower Moon, Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer, Ryan Gosling for Barbie, and Mark Ruffalo for Poor Things. Ryan, who do you think will win this award?
So, all but guaranteed now that RDJ
pretty much
get his Oscar for Oppenheimer.
Yeah, it seems like it, yeah.
Yeah, so good for him. I mean, I'll be happy to see his speech. I'm sure it'll be a hoot and a holler. I don't know that I would pick him for the win. Here's the thing. I haven't seen Sterling K. Brown. I know I think you're in his corner, but between the remaining four, I do like what De Niro did a lot with Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah.
It was a great supporting performance. I did like a lot of what Mark Ruffalo was doing in Poor Things. Very nice comedic performance. Ryan Gosling, though, is definitely the most memorable supporting performance, I think, of these five. And again, I haven't seen Sterling K. Brown's. So that could change because I do really love him. But I think still to this day, I think Ryan Gosling, just the way that Ken, which could have been, I mean, it's a credit to the writing as well, but could have just been such a way more lame and stupid and throwaway character. That was just the butt of a few jokes and then we move on. But who was his own character, was incredibly engaging the whole time. So many laughs coming from him in his comedic timing, his performance, everything he was willing to do. So I don't know. I think I'm behind Ryan Gosling. He won't win, which is honestly probably for the best. But yeah, I think he's my favorite of these. What about
you? I agree that Robert Downey Jr. is most likely to win. I mean, it's all in the bag, of course. It's his to lose for sure. But you said it before. Sterling K. Brown in American Fiction. You got to watch this movie. I think he is fantastic because it's Jeffrey Wright's vehicle through and through. He's in every scene of the movie. It's his movie completely. It's his story. But every scene that Sterling K. Brown is in, he steals the show. He's such it's such a thundering performance. And I think it's a really good supporting performance because not only is he standing out on his own, he is lifting up Jeffrey Wright's performance to make it even better, which I think is what a real supporting actor is supposed to do. So I'm in the Sterling K. Brown camp. Sold.
All right, gotcha. So we're
close second is
who will win. But
if you ask me, close second is Mark Ruffalo, though, I think, in Poor Things. Because I think very similarly to Sterling K. Brown and Ryan Gosling also is that this is a comedic performance that stands out on its own, but is also built in to lift up the performances around him.
Mm-hmm. For sure. All right. So moving on to Best Supporting Actress, we have Emily Blunt for Oppenheimer, Danielle Brooks for The Color Purple, America Ferrera for Barbie, Jodie Foster for Naiad, and Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers. And once again, pretty much a surefire victory here, even more so than supporting actor, with Divine Joy Randolph being the clear front runner.
Good. She is incredible in The Holdovers. She deserves the win. I think she's going to get it, and I think she deserves it. Ryan, do you agree?
I absolutely agree. Also, because, I mean, we've spoken about the Barbie supporting actress performance. We're talking about Emily Blunt as well for Oppenheimer. I was not convinced that either of those really were deserving of best supporting nods. And I haven't seen Color Purple or Naiad. So by default, then she would win. But either way, she definitely absolutely deserves it. So, yep, going with should win, will win.
Perfect. International feature film. The nominees are Io Capitano by Italy, Perfect Days from Japan, Society of the Snow from Spain, The Teacher's Lounge from Germany, and The Zone of Interest from the UK. This is one of the first years in recent times where I haven't seen most of the international feature movies. I've only seen The Zone of Interest, which is crazy because I could have watched Society of the Snow. It was on Netflix, and I could have watched Perfect Days. It's in theaters this past week, and I didn't.
Dang. So,
Zone of Interest. Default,
we're picking, Zone of Interest as you're saying should win, will win. I'm saying definitely will win. Haven't seen the rest of them. Can't really take, can't say who should win. But
yeah, I'm willing to bet, though, if I watch Perfect Days, I think I'd be in the Perfect Days camp. It seems like a movie I would really enjoy, but I just haven't seen it.
Gotcha. All right. Moving on to animated feature film. The Boy and the Heron, Elemental, Nimona, Robot Dreams, and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. So I think it's a two-way race here between The Boy and the Heron and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. That film, of course, the original one back in 2018 is the year released. That following Oscar's year, it won for Best Animated Feature. Do you think it can do a repeat here?
I think The Boy and the Heron is going to take it.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Fascinating. I agree with you. I think there's going to be a lot of love for it. I think it being billed as Miyazaki's last film obviously will go in its favor. And then even though Across the Spider-Verse was great, I think, I don't know, people might be hesitant to give it yet another, especially when we know that a third one's coming out.
It feels very dependent upon the next movie. And I think the next one, unless there's some anime movie that blows it out of the water, I think the next one will win Best Animated Feature.
Right. If it's on the same level as these past two, then yeah, almost certainly. Unless Miyazaki gets his next film out. but yeah, I mean, honestly, he could, because it's going to take a while for them to get that next Spider-Verse film out, I think.
Yeah. Bummer. Indeed. Now we can move on to adapted screenplay. The nominees are American Fiction, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest.
All right. Ryan, a full house here. Now, once again, haven't seen American Fiction yet, although I know one of the biggest, you know, attributes of it is its strong writing. So that's definitely a strong contender. Barbie, is an adapted screenplay. I don't think we ever talked about the announcement that it was going into adapted, because originally
we talked about it a little bit, but it's bizarre.
Yeah. I can see both sides of the argument, I guess, because it does like draw a lot on the mythos of Barbie, which it's funny to say that like there's a mythos to Barbie, but there definitely is. And so if it's pulling from that and like referencing specific like Ken and the Allen and the different types of Barbies and all that, and recreating their looks and like having personalities that resemble stuff that had already been created as a toy line, I can see the argument that, well, it's
drawn
from pre-existing IP, basically.
I think the argument is stronger for the original category, just for the sake of the story itself. The actual plot of the movie is not dependent upon a pre-existing storyline. It is made originally. If you looked at like a superhero movie like The Dark Knight like the Infinity War movie or something, where it's dependent upon a plot line that already existed in like a comic structure,
mm-hmm.
then I think in that case it would be nominated in adapted screen, because Barbie is not, if they had taken one of the Barbie animated movies and just redone it or did a storyline similar to those animated Barbie movies, then that would be an adapted screen. But this is like an original plot line featuring unoriginal characters.
Right. I can see part of that, but then they would say too, well, oh, what if I completely invented the plot and all these different like character traits for characters that were pre-existing? So if they still had the same name, think of like a comic book thing, if they were to take like a character in a completely different direction than what their comic book counterpart was, it would still sort of be like you had that jumping off point and you're putting a twist on it, you're changing it, you're making it new, but there still was something
that you're basing it on. It's a difficult argument, but I'm still in the camp that Barbie should have been an original screenplay nominee, if at all.
Right. I think it makes sense as adapted. I'm not mad about it. I think it works. And obviously Oppenheimer, you know, based on a nonfiction book, is also an adapted, so it's like, yeah, they have clear rules for it. It seems like it lines up most of the time.
It's crazy that the 10 nominees nominated in the screenplay category are the best picture nominees except for Killers of the Flower Moon, which I thought would get an adapted screenplay nomination. Yeah. I thought it would get an adapted screenplay nomination. I thought Barbie would be an original instead of May December. But
yeah, Zone of Interest getting in here is fascinating. Again, I haven't seen that movie, so I'd be curious, or the screenplay, but I'd be interested to see why. Because Barbie coming over, we knew if it got kicked over to adapted, it would get the nomination. But then Zone of Interest is the one that really kicked out Killers of the Flower Moon. Which, yeah, honestly, again, I mean, we discussed our somewhat disappointment with the film and the direction they took it in. But yeah, I think that is like one of the greatest cases of an adaptation, like finding a way to enter the story in a very particular way that wasn't set out by the source material. So they found a whole new like entry point, a new focus for the character and all that, had to restructure everything. So I feel like that, especially if we're talking about like, okay, adapted and how it relates to the source material, I feel like that was a pretty impressive display of doing an adaptation, but apparently not.
Yeah, apparently. But what do you think will win adapted screenplay? Because this is where you and I have heated contention, I think, is the screenplay categories.
Right. I think more so for original screenplay.
Sure.
I don't think Oppenheimer, which we also haven't, I think, talked about the first person point of view that it's written in.
Mm-hmm.
A wild, wild choice from Christopher Nolan there.
Yeah.
Don't think it should win at all.
No, I agree.
Things, I think there's a great argument to be made there. Haven't seen Zone of Interest or American Fiction, so I can't really comment on that. Although I feel like I would really like American Fiction and appreciate its writing. I think that one might win. I think that would be the one place where American Fiction does take a win. And we see that often. We're like, okay, it doesn't get anything else. You know, Women Talking had this too the other year. It won nothing else, but it won the screenplay. So I think American Fiction won't win anything else, but it will win screenplay.
Okay.
As for what should win, I'd be between Barbie and Poor Things. Again, I don't know if like Barbie's really well done. I think they did a great job with it. I don't know that I'd give it like screenplay though. And Poor Things, again, funny enough, I mean, has a very similar like thematic core to it. but in an entirely sort of different direction, much more weird and eccentric than mainstream and commercial. And again, Barbie being able to pull that off was incredibly impressive. Definitely credit to it. I think I'd go with Poor Things. Again, seeing only three of these out of the five. What would you pick?
I think Poor Things should win, and I also think that it will win. I am on the Poor Things train as a screenplay winner. I think it has a leg up on American Fiction just slightly. I just think it's, from what I've read, it seems like it has done a good job at adapting the source novel, and it is just a very tightly written script, if you ask me. And American Fiction has some, it's really good. American Fiction is great. I really enjoyed American Fiction, but there are gaps in my interest that happen. And there are some character choices that I feel were more than likely expanded upon in the source novel that were not expanded upon in the movie for time's sake. Mm. But I feel like Poor Things, everything was very well rounded and everything was taken care of in a very sturdy, strong way. So I'm on the Poor Things train.
Gotcha. All right. Then now for original screenplay, Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Maestro, May, December, and Past Lives. So I think we're clearly both in agreement. Maestro, it wins.
Yeah, 100% for sure. Definitely. Absolutely. 100%. 1000%. Yeah, for sure. All right. The worst of the Best Picture nominees.
So what's our true contention here?
I think you and I are in disagreement over Anatomy of a Fall. I think Anatomy of a Fall is going to win.
Right.
You do not think so.
And then you think what should win
is The Holdovers. I think The Holdovers should win.
Which is hilarious because back when we were initially doing it, it was, you were like, yeah, Anatomy of the Fall, that's going to win. It should win. It's incredible writing because you hadn't seen Holdovers yet. That's and I was correct. Like, bro, it's going to be Holdovers. It absolutely has to be. Come on. This is like exactly up the alley of writers and everything because I hadn't seen Anatomy of the Fall yet. Mm-hmm. I think Anatomy of the Fall should win.
No, fucking Holdovers way. Should
win. That's hilarious. We flipped.
What do you think is going to win, though?
I think, I don't know. I think it really is between Anatomy of Fall and Holdovers. Anatomy of Fall won Golden Globes. It won BAFTA recently.
I think it has the leg up.
I think it's definitely the favored one at this point to win. But I don't know. If nothing else, again, like we're places that are going to get wins. Holdovers, I don't know. I mean, it does have supporting actress. So maybe that's why they'll give that. You know, Holdovers will get a win with that. And then they'll be like, okay, Anatomy of Fall should get a win. And it'll come in the original screenplay category. But
I don't know if that's how people vote these days. You know, I don't know if they want to spread the love like that. I mean, the last Oscars, they gave, what, 6 or 7 to Everything Everywhere All at Once? They just showered it.
Right.
I think if there is a story backing a certain individual that is strong, as well as a talent behind it, I think it has the power to win.
I mean,
I don't think original screenplay has anything standing out story-wise, except for Past Lives, maybe. People are interested in Celine Song's story of how she came up with that and wrote it. But there's no like strong backstory to any of these screenplays. It's just very well-written scripts and Maestro. And so I think The Holdovers is going to... I think The Holdovers is going to take it. Or I think Anatomy of a Fall is just going to take it, but I think The Holdovers should take it.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm going to say I think The Holdovers might take it. We'll see. Because there could be, again, Anatomy of a Fall has been doing great. There could be a Holdover surge, though. We'll see. We will absolutely see. So you give Anatomy the win. I give Holdovers the win. But our true allegiances lie in the opposite corner.
Correct. Which is funny. Correct.
But okay, so let me draw that down. I'm trying to keep track of everything here.
While you're doing that, let me give the visual effects nominees. It's The Creator, Godzilla Minus One, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, and Napoleon. Now, I have not seen Godzilla Minus One, and I've heard very, very good things about the visual effects, and I think it's cool that the director is nominated in this category because he was so instrumental to the special effects team. He led the special effects team. So I think it's cool that the director of Godzilla Minus One was also the visual effects director and is nominated in this category. But I think without a doubt, I have to say, I think The Creator should win. I think The Creator was not a very good movie. I did not have fun watching it, but God, those visual effects are some of the best I've ever seen in my life.
I would 100% agree. Godzilla Minus One is incredible. if it wins, that would be fantastic, because it was definitely working with, you know, a much smaller budget. So what they were able to accomplish was an amazing feat. But yeah, the creator, it's just, it's seamless. Like, you totally believe everything you're seeing in there. And they had to do so much, like all the robot heads, basically all the androids that they had going on with the holes through the center of it. I mean, not once did it come across, you know, unbelievable or false. So that was incredible stuff. So I agree, the creator, bad film, but incredible VFX.
And I think it should win.
I think it should win.
I think it will.
Probably will win, unless Godzilla Minus One gets a whole lot of love. But other than that, I mean, yeah, I don't think any of these other would take it. So I think creator's got it.
Hell yeah.
All right, original score. We have American Fiction, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. So who do you think, or which film, I guess, because we don't have the people listed here, but who do you think is going to win original score?
This one's tough because there's no big standouts to me. I think it's going to come down to Killers of the Flower Moon and Oppenheimer, of course. I think they are standing above the crowd. I think Oppenheimer has the edge to win, but I think Killers of the Flower Moon has the story, and if it's going to win one, I think it's going to be either this or Best Actress. Because Killers of the Flower Moon, the score was written by Robbie Robertson, who was Native American, and he passed away before he was even nominated. I think he passed away a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think his score was very, very good, and I think he has a great story behind him. He's a very talented musician. He was in the band back in the 70s, and he's known Martin Scorsese for a long, long time. And he's a very talented musician, so I think he has the leg up over Oppenheimer, just because to me there is no standout to where I'm like, quality wise, this is objectively the best piece of music. I think they all have strengths, but I think Killers of the Flower Moon is gonna win. I can't say there's anything that I think should win, because there's just nothing that speaks to me. I think American Fiction's cool because it's a very soft, very simple jazz score, and it works well with the piece. And I think Poor Things is cool because it's so odd. I think Oppenheimer is so cool because it's very charging and powerful, and it goes really well with what Christopher Nolan was making. And I think Killers of the Flower Moon is similarly that incredible sort of powerful score that meshes with the Native American culture that we're grossing ourselves in. And Indiana Jones is Indiana Jones. It's always going to be good. So there's no standouts to me, but I think Killers will win.
Really? All right. I think Oppenheimer will win.
That's fair.
I think, you know, Ludwig Göransson, there's a lot of love for Oppenheimer, and a big part of that is also the score. So I think that is definitely going to take it. And then for what should win, I really like the Poor Things score. Like, it
really? I mean, I liked it too, yeah.
Yeah, odd and upbeat and all these like weird, strange sounds going on. It definitely fits in with that world really well, immerses you into it. So yeah, I think that's great. So personally, I would go with that, but I definitely think this is one of those where the Oppenheimer sweep is going to kick in. Mm-hmm. So let's take stock real quick of where we're at as far as the wins go.
Mm-hmm.
So at the moment, we both agreed I would get the two wins for supporting.
Yeah.
And then you were giving me the win for the, I mean, we both also had international feature since I had Zone of Interest. So that went to me as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you were saying for adapted screenplay, Poor Things would be the winner.
I think that's correct. Yes. So I'm giving you that one. That would, it's not looking good for me. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah,
it's
looking pretty, I don't even agree with that one. I'm like, no, I think it'll be American Fiction, which is a wash.
Which would go to nobody, yeah.
And then we start having our disagreements. Original screenplay, I think I'll get the point with Holdovers. You'll get the point with Anatomy of Fall. And then we again split here. I think Oppenheimer will win. That's on my roster. You think Killers will win. That's on your roster. So at the moment, though, in agreement, we would have three my way. You would give me a fourth. I would say I'd probably have five. And then you would say you would have two.
Yeah, so that sounds all right.
Count so far. So we'll see as we continue on. But you're definitely going to have a guaranteed win here with original song. It Never Went Away from American Symphony. I'm Just Ken from Barbie. What Was I Made For? Also from Barbie. The Fire Inside from Flamin' Hot. That's crazy. And then going to butcher that.
Wajazi?
A Song for My People from Killers of the Flower Moon. So three from you here.
Yeah. I'm going to go with What Was I Made For from Barbie. I think that's what's going to take it. Either way, I have a very strong advantage in this category. I think I'm going to walk away with a win from original song.
Yeah, for sure.
Almost guaranteed. Because I don't think Flamin' Hot or American Symphony are going to take it.
No, I don't think so.
It's amazing that Flamin' Hot is an Oscar-nominated movie now.
That is, yeah, kind of wild. I would say What Was I Made For probably will win, which is wild. That Billie Eilish will go back-to-back, basically.
Good for her.
And then I feel like I'm Just Ken should win.
Really? You think so? I think it would be funny.
I enjoy that more. And I like, the way they did it, the whole like power ballad, 80s power ballad thing. It rocks. Also, the sequence that it was in also rocks. But then When I Was Made For, they also, again, they did that
thing. It works really, really well.
Where they wove it into the score. It's a nice motif, like that little melody that they have. And then it's also used very effectively within the film.
Yeah.
So both are
very strong.
Very deserving, I think. Yeah. So Either way, it's going to be a Barbie song. Almost certainly going to be What Was I Made For?
Yep. Now, the big, big category, one of the biggest, Best Director. We have Jonathan Glazer for The Zone of Interest, Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things, Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer, Marty Scorsese for Killers of the Flower Moon, and Justine Triet for Anatomy of a Fall.
So a full house of... Yeah. Nominees from our rosters collectively. So, I mean, this one is pretty clear.
It's leaning towards Chris Nolan, yeah. Pretty heavily.
Yeah.
Pretty heavily.
Definitely his time. I mean, there's no better time for it to happen.
Yeah.
I can't see anyone else taking over. Yeah, it's got to be Nolan.
Yeah. All right. Is that who you would want to win, though?
I was thinking of that, honestly. And I think I would. Even though I don't love that movie, I think it is such a great showcase of all of his stylistic preferences, his techniques, like the things that he is known for, all bundled up in this one film. It's like 3 hours. Again, it's like it's a biopic, but it feels so massive. It has that spectacle quality to it. And that's something that's like just the mark of a very specific, distinct kind of filmmaker that Nolan has made himself out to be.
Yeah.
So I would give it to him, even though, yeah, it's well documented that I wasn't the biggest fan. I liked it. I, of course, liked it. It was a positive review I gave, but not my favorite, but I would say he deserves this.
I think of these five nominees, I would also give it to Christopher Nolan, but I think if I was giving out this award to somebody who made a movie last year, it would have been Holdovers, I think.
Okay.
Just blew me away. Who's that? It's
Alexander Payne.
Yeah. It just took me away. Just the ability to take such a grounded story and make such a solid film out of it, and stylistic in the way that it is. I think just the choices he made were all very, very solid, and it worked really, really well.
For sure.
And he just had a solid understanding of what that material was in the script and how to execute it. I think it worked really, really well. But of these five nominees, I would probably give to Christopher Nolan too.
All right.
Now we can talk about documentary feature film. 20 Days in Mariupol, Bobby Wine, The People's President, The Eternal Memory, Four Daughters, and To Kill a Tiger. I have never heard of any of these movies.
I'll be honest. I was not doing the greatest research on these, you know, the doc and animated shorts and live action shorts categories.
Yeah.
I will say, though, 20 Days in Mariupol, I have heard extensively about that. That's about the Ukraine conflict.
Okay.
And so it's like following journalists in there fairly early on in the conflict. That is definitely going to win. So, okay. Yeah, 20 Days of Mariupol. I think it's also like widely accessible. I think it is on YouTube somewhere. So that one I think will take it. For animated short film, Letter to a Pig, great name, 95 Senses, Our Uniform, Pachydermy,
I want to guess. Yeah.
And then War is Over, inspired by the music of John and Yoko. All right. So, again.
I've never heard of any of them.
So
I'm going to guess Letter to a Pig.
Letter to a Pig. Yeah, I kind of like
Letter
that.
To a Pig. In the past, the ones that have the funny names that I've guessed have come out on top, including my Octopus Teacher.
Yep,
Octopus Teacher.
yo, if there's an animal in there, they're gonna give it to it.
I'm gonna give it to Letter to a Pig. I think that's
your love was also in there. Yeah, I think Letter to a Pig. Let's go with that.
Let's go. All right. Live action short film is The After, Invincible, Night of Fortune, Red, White, and Blue, and The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. I think The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar should win. It's the only one I've seen, and it's incredible.
Yeah, I'm amazed. So Wes Anderson, yet again, getting snubbed entirely from the Oscars for his feature thing.
Yes.
Twice in a row. And then his short film, adapting the Roald Dahl books with this has Cumberbatch. Did they all have Cumberbatch? It was just this one.
I think one other one had him in it, I think. Okay. But it did have similar actors. Like, he made them all around the same time, use the same people, same crew, I'm assuming.
Right.
Dropped them all at the same time. It was as if he had taken a feature film of, like, four short films. Because that's what The French Dispatch was. It was four short films that he just tied together with a theme. He could have done the same thing with this one. Instead, he just dropped them as separate short
he
films.
He said, maybe I split them up so that I can get the... at least a nomination for short film, since they won't be features anymore.
Yeah, fair. I mean, he deserves it. The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar is really, really well done. It's one of my favorite things Wes Anderson's done in a long time.
Hey, nice. I did not catch this, but it is the one that I recognize, and it obviously will have the most backing and most recognizability for it, so that might definitely work in its favor. And if it's very quality, as you say, then it might take the victory.
It is. It's incredible. Highly recommend.
Okay. Documentary short film. The ABCs of Book Banning. The Barber of Little Rock. Island in Between. The Last Repair Shop. And Nai Nai and Waipo.
You have any leanings on here? I think I've heard good things about Nai Nai and Waipo. I have.
I've also heard, because the filmmaker for that.
He's making a movie. He's making a feature.
Just had Sundance. He had DD came out of there. And I've heard great things about that. I think that's on my list for sure.
Yeah.
That's like one that I'm like, okay.
For sure.
All the ones that are coming out from Sundance. That's the one that I need to hit.
Yeah.
So I'm rooting for that one. I think that'd be cool.
I agree with you. Yeah. Nai Nai and Waipo should win.
Yeah. And then, I don't know, the only other one, I mean, ABC is a Book Banning, since that's in its documentary. So it's very topical. I mean, obviously that's become a big thing.
Of course.
In recent years. So that, you know, the commentary aspect of that might work. Last Repair Shop and Barber, like focusing on, I guess, people in the community doing great things in the community. That's always like a lovely type of doc. Island in Between, I'm sure what that one's about. Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
But I think, I'm rooting for Nai Nai and Waipo just because I'm interested in what that filmmaker's doing.
Yeah. For cinematography, the nominees are El Conde, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. I think Oppenheimer has this one in the bag. I think this is one of the technicals that's going to sweep.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there was, once again, none that really blew my mind. I've heard good things about El Conde, but I think if I had to pick one, I think Poor Things I'm leaning towards, because I love the fisheye look of all of Yorgos Lanthimos' movies. I think it's fun. But I really don't objectively have like a big preference here.
Right. I think Oppenheimer will win.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, just, everything that he was doing there with the creating the black and white IMAX film, shooting it on the massive IMAX 70mm cameras. All of that, I think, is definitely, like, people are going to love it. Poor Things, I also really like the look of it. I'm not the biggest fan of the fisheye stuff.
Really?
There was plenty of that in there. It's just a stylistic thing where I'm like, eh. But I can see how it fits in with his vision and the world that he's creating there. And there were a lot of, like, stunning images throughout that film. Killers of the Flower Moon, of course. I mean, looks very solid. Maestro also did have very good
cinematography. It does look good, yeah.
I also did not see El Conde, but I heard great things. I'm not, like, any one of them could win, and I'd be like, okay, like, I see it, I'm fine with it. I'm not as angry at this category as I was last year. So, yeah, I think Oppenheimer will take it. I'd be happy with any of them. I guess I can respect, you know, the innovation that's going on with the stuff that he was doing with the film. So I could give it to Oppenheimer, or again, Poor Things, since it had such a distinctive look to it.
Yeah. I think Oppenheimer's going to take it, though.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's look at costume design. We have Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. So what do you think for this one? What's going to take it?
I think it's between Barbie and Poor Things, and I think I'm going to give it to Poor Things by just a hair.
Yeah, I think it is probably down to those. I think, honestly, maybe Killers of Flower Moon might have a...
It's possible.
...better shot as, like, the whatever would be second place. I think what should win, and hopefully what will win, is Poor Things. The costumes in that
were... They are incredible, yeah. Just the uniqueness of them is very, very spellbounding, for sure.
Exactly. Just, like, any... Yeah, all of Bella Baxter's, her dresses and whatnot, mm-hmm. those big, floofy, like, shoulder things there. It was just... I mean, every way it was interesting. So I think that definitely should take the win.
Yeah, but also all of the touches and the recreations of all of those Barbie costumes, I think, is impressive in their own right.
Eh.
I think so.
I'm less convinced by that. I think a lot of what Killers was able to do, it being, you know, a period piece and bringing in a lot of the, like, cultural elements, I thought that was really well done and well handled. Mm-hmm. So I would put that as my, like, second option behind that. But yeah, for makeup and hairstyling, we have Golda, which I don't know what that film is from, but shout out to them for making it into this category. Maestro, Oppenheimer, yet again, Poor Things, yet again, and Society of the Snow.
I think it's going to go to Poor Things, just for Willem Dafoe. I mean, he looks incredible.
He does, absolutely. Here's the thing. I think they're going to give it to Maestro.
I also think it's between those two, and they might be leaning Maestro. Just because of, you know, they made Bradley Cooper look just like Leonard Bernstein. Cool.
I will say, he does look
a he lot does look just like
Leonard Bernstein. It is kind of crazy.
Again, it is a good performance, and he does look a lot like Leonard Bernstein. Yeah, you're correct.
I was hating on him before I saw it, but I'm like, okay, I see it. I see the vision. So I'm kind of like, okay, maybe that one is a deserved win. Maybe. They didn't just, like, slap a nose on there and call it a day. Like, no, they really... truly made him look exactly like that guy.
I suppose. So, I feel like the effort that went into designing Willem Dafoe's entire face in Poor Things deserves recognition, because that looks incredible.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's solid. But yeah, I think I'm leaning towards that. So what are you saying for sure as your will win?
Will win? I don't have a will win. It's between Maestro and Poor Things. But should win, I say Poor Things. I'll say will win Maestro. I think Maestro is leaning just a little bit ahead.
Okay, gotcha. So we're in agreement there. All right.
Let's move on to film editing. Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. I think Oppenheimer's going to win. I mean, the whole thing is an editing showcase of trying to cut between these crazy things and these intricate shots of atoms and things colliding. So I think it's Oppenheimer's to lose, if you ask me.
Another full house for our categories in here. I think Oppenheimer's definitely got it locked down. I mean, it's definitely one of those situations where it's okay. The most editing will get the best editing, and it's hard not to notice the editing in Oppenheimer. So I think that one will take it for sure. As for what should, I could see any of them taking it, honestly. The one that I might give it to the most, though, I feel like would be The Holdovers.
Really?
I think that one had, it had a very...
It's excellent and very, very subtle, but exactly. Works in such a strong way. You're correct.
It's like, but so I think... well dialed.
I think the stylism of Oppenheimer makes it, because it's so pronounced, I think people will vote for it for that reason. Yeah. But I think The Holdovers, because it is not pronounced and because it works so well, I could see you wanting to.
It'll fly like just under the radar. But yeah, I thought the way we were carried through those scenes, and then also like being able to shift in the focus from our ensemble cast, like it is really a three-hander, mostly like a two-hander, but still I think the way that we were able to like have that subjectivity with each of them. And then by the end, when it was like the three of them all together, like I thought that was just really well handled. So I think that was, again, personally the one I'll lean towards the most, but it's not by a wide margin. Like I think the editing for all of these are very strong. So once again, mm-hmm. a nice category. Any of them are well deserving, but I think the Oppenheimer sweep, once again, will strike here.
Yeah.
So moving on to sound, we have The Creator, Maestro, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, Part One, Oppenheimer, and The Zone of Interest.
I think The Zone of Interest should and will win.
I can't attest to the sound, but I've heard magnificent things. So I'm gonna endorse you there with your vote that it should win based on.
I think anybody who didn't see The Zone of Interest but saw every other movie that came out last year would probably pick Oppenheimer. But the second you see The Zone of Interest, the sound stands out so strongly that I think anybody who sees that movie would vote for it in a heartbeat for a sound category, because it's all about the sound. It's all about what you hear and juxtaposing it with what you see. And the sounds are visceral.
For sure. So, and you're thinking that will win?
I think it will win, yeah. I think the people who have seen it will go, that has to win Best Sound. It has to. And that will encompass anybody who has seen Oppenheimer.
Gotcha. So we just have to hope as many people saw Zone of Interest as possible, because otherwise I think it would go to Oppenheimer. It's definitely between the two. But yeah, I think Zone of Interest, based on, you know, what everyone has said about it, should win. And then I think it will win. I think if there's any other like category that it'll get a victory in, it would be this one, because it is such an essential element. So either way, it looks like it's going towards me for that category.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I think we're both putting our hats into the Zone of Interest corner.
Yep. And production design, we can talk about Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. I think this is a close one, because I think they're all really, really well done. Except maybe Napoleon. And Napoleon's good too. I think all of their production design.
You had to just sneak a jab in there at Ridley Scott.
I was just trying to differentiate in my head what I consider production design, what I consider visual effects, because I couldn't tell a lot of the time. Because in Poor Things, it's like the cruise ship is incredible. Like the interiors of Poor Things stand out so strongly that no matter which exteriors were CGI and which weren't, it still looked incredible. Whereas Napoleon, the interiors were gorgeous, especially the crowning sequence, but nothing stood out to the point where I was like, I can excuse the fact that most of those exteriors are probably CGI. But the rest of these movies, Barbie, of course, has incredible production design. Killers of the Flower Moon, one of the most expensive movies Martin Scorsese has ever made, of course, is going to have great production design. Oppenheimer, they built that whole town.
I mean, yeah, Killers also did the same thing, building like a whole town.
So yeah, exactly, yeah.
Massive labors going on for all of these.
Big production designs going on here. So it's hard to pick one that I think deserves it the most. I just think in terms of creativity, Poor Things stands out to me.
Just I agree. Sheer creativity. I think it, for me, that one is like the clear winner.
Yeah.
Like it's just so beautiful, so, again, distinctive. And it's not meant to be like grounded and in the real world. It takes on its own sort of like heightened realism to it. And so I think a lot of that like artifice, like that clear artifice that's going on in there where they lean into it, I just love it. I think that's definitely like the strongest part of that film too. So for me, Poor Things should win. What will win is honestly a harder question.
Yeah, like, I don't even know. I couldn't even tell you.
I think it might go Barbie. Because I feel like it is so recognizable, and you know, the whole Barbie world is great. This is one of those things too, where it's like, I mean, there are the Barbie play sets, and a lot of what that was is bringing that to life. And it's great that they do it, but it's like, okay, the vision was already there. Just bring in the competent people that are able to create it. With Poor Things, there had to be like building it up and figuring out, okay, how do we mesh these like real world cities with these artificial designs and these crazy like color palettes for the sky and all this that we want to do. How do we combine all these elements?
I think they did a lot of combining for Barbie as well. I think I agree with Poor Things, but I think the idea that they took all these different play sets and they tried to create this one cohesive Barbie world where you have the beach scenes and you have the scenes outside the house and you have all the interiors and exteriors of that whole world in there. You have the scene where they're traveling through the worlds to get to the real world. You know, I think it does. They have that entire sequence in the Mattel factory, you know, running through there. I think the sets stand out enough to where it could claim a victory, especially because it's very reminiscent of like those old school Wizard of Oz type massive production stage sound stages.
Right.
Give that feeling of what you think old school production design was like. And that might be enough to win over the hearts of people who think, you know, this is what production design should be like. So I think Barbie might have a leg up on Poor Things, but I would give it to Poor Things. If I had the choice, if I was picking the Oscars.
Gotcha. So Holding Your Feet to the Fire will win is
Barbie.
Barbie. Okay. So we're in agreement there. I think Barbie will take the victory on that one. Mm-hmm.
Now we can do Best Actor. This is a big one. It's very close race, although there is clearly a front runner, but it is a little bit closer than most years, I would argue. Bradley Cooper with Maestro, Colman Domingo with Rustin, Paul Giamatti with The Holdovers, Cillian Murphy with Oppenheimer, and Jeffrey Wright with American Fiction. Cillian Murphy is obviously the front runner. It seems like he's going to win, but if he was going to be upset by anybody, it would be Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers, who has also won a decent amount of awards throughout the awards season. I think Cillian Murphy's going to win it. I think they're just going to give it to him because, I mean, he's incredible in the movie, and he's carrying a much more massive production on his back for this. These are all great examples of main characters who are leading their movie very, very strongly. But I think Cillian Murphy has the most weight on his back in terms of what he's carrying here and how much of the movie depends on him as a performer and how excellently he did. However, if I could choose, I would give it to Paul Giamatti. In terms of the actual logistics of the performance itself, I think Paul Giamatti, to me, sells the character a little better than Cillian Murphy sells me Robert Oppenheimer.
Gotcha.
And I think it's a disadvantage because I am naturally inclined to root against playing real life figures, people who play their own original characters. I'm more inclined to be in favor of somebody who's playing an original character than somebody who is playing a biopic character. But hey, to each their own.
Yeah. I honestly don't have a strong preference for who should win.
Mm-hmm.
A few of these, you know, I haven't seen yet, but of the ones I have, again, I think they're all
very good performances. Strong. Except Colman Domingo, who I haven't seen. I don't know. I can't
say. But I love Colman Domingo. I'm so glad
he's me too.
Flowers nowadays. Yeah. Dude, I mean, I was on the train for him back in Fear the Walking Dead when he was on that, the spinoff show of The Walking Dead. And he was my favorite character in that. I'm like, this man's incredible. And then he got to be on Euphoria, and then now he's blown up and all these other things. So I look forward to seeing an amazing performance from him in a film that I have seen. But I'm not.
I love Colman Domingo in BoJack Horseman. I think he's great.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, love him. Great stuff. Paul Giamatti and Cillian Murphy. Neck and neck, I feel like, as far as like,
it's my very close. Another
performance and who could take it. I feel like, again, the Oppenheimer sweep is just definitely going to carry Cillian Murphy to the victory. But
yeah,
it'd be close, and honestly, it'd be well-deserved for either of them. But we're both going Cillian Murphy on this one.
Yeah, I think so. Either way, it's a win for you, whether either one of them wins, you know.
Yeah. Going to Best Actress, we have Annette Bening for Naiad, Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon, Sandra Hüller for Anatomy of the Fall, Carey Mulligan for Maestro, and Emma Stone for Poor Things. I think you were on record saying this is the best performance of the decade.
Well, I mean, it's only been 4 years, but yes, of close to the last 10 years, this is one of my favorite performances of all time, is Emma Stone in Poor Things. I think she will win. I think she deserves to win. I'm excited for her to win. She is astounding in this movie.
Mm-hmm. I 1,000% agree. She should win. We'll see about it. Will win. We'll have to talk through that. But I think it's also, I haven't seen NIAID, but a very stacked category. I really liked Carey Mulligan's performance in Maestro.
I did too.
Carey Mulligan fan. So
me too.
Yeah, she's phenomenal. So I thought her.
I kind of think she got stiffed for Promising Young Woman. I think you and I both thought that, right?
We did. Yeah,
I wanted her to win for Promising Young Woman. Yeah,
by far, yeah, the best performance that I'd seen that year.
Who won instead? Was it Frances McDormand? Was that that year?
I believe so, because that was the COVID year. So yeah, I think it was
Emerald Fennell and Chloe Zhao won the screenwriting awards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and yeah, Chloe Zhao was for Nomadland, so it was that year. And then Sandra Hüller also phenomenal.
Oh, she's amazing. It's so sad because if there was any other year, if she was nominated any other year, she would have won, I think. But Emma Stone just stands out. And it's so sad because she's great. This is like Sandra Hüller's year. It was supposed to be her year because Anatomy of a Fall, she's fantastic. In Zone of Interest, I could have seen her getting a Best Supporting Actress nomination. And I think she deserved it more than a lot of the people who were nominated in that category this year. And she didn't get it, which is sad because she's so good in both of these movies. It's so sad.
Agreed. But hey, she got the nomination. She got the 1-2 punch of being in two very prominent.
Two Best Picture nominees.
Yeah, Best
Picture. Are there any other actors this year that can claim that they're in two Best Picture nominees?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I have that little piece of trivia, but for sure, she's the most prominent one. And then Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon, which I think we both think is a phenomenal supporting performance.
Yes.
Again, I just don't know if it'll be able to like get Best Actress. Obviously, there's a lot of love for her. She's been getting awards. She's been doing great speeches. It'd be a historic moment. But I just think for such a massive film that that is, too, like the 3.5 hours, she's obviously in it a lot. And she's doing subtle performances there, so that carries a kind of power to it. And it's nice to have that contrast from what we usually see of like the big massive performances that you think of for Best Performance. But I just don't think that when you compare it to like Emma Stone, who had to carry her movie and then went on this crazy journey as that character, like literally developing rapidly, like going from toddler to the woman that we see at the very end that's in control.
Yeah.
I don't see how you can do that. Like Emma Stone gave a sensational performance.
Absolutely.
I feel like she has to win this. Again, Lily Gladstone, I wouldn't be mad if she did, but I don't know. It just doesn't seem like
just because I'm so in the camp supporting. I'm so in the camp that Emma Stone should win. Mm-hmm. I'm so engrossed in the fact that I think Emma Stone should win because it's just such a killer performance. I wish Lily Gladstone had been nominated for Best Supporting Actress because then she would have been neck and neck for me with Divine Joy Randolph. I think it would have been very, very close in that race because they're both excellent as supporting actresses in their respective movies. But Emma Stone kills it. Kills it.
Right. For sure.
And so, last but not least, do you want to... Now we'll do the tally afterward. Best Picture nominees are American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest.
All right. So thoughts, a nice Ryan? Collection of 10 films there, 9 of which are on our rosters.
Mm-hmm.
The Color Purple was the one left out. Should have picked American Fiction, apparently. So I think it's obvious. I mean, it's going to be Oppenheimer. Come on.
I think it is going to be Oppenheimer. I think you're right. But would you pick Oppenheimer?
Of course not. I mean, I would pick Past Lives. I mean, that's my favorite film of that year.
I would pick The Holdovers.
Which is your favorite film of that year. Yeah. So yeah, we have our preferences there. But
I just think sad.
It's very obvious that Oppenheimer, if it's going to have such a strong sweep everywhere else, it's going to get the true crown of Best Picture as well.
Yeah. And if it wins, it'll be the first movie in, I think, close to 15 years that it did not have like a big premiere at a festival. Most Best Picture winners of the last 15 years premiered at TIFF or Sundance. Very rarely Sundance. I mean, Everything Everywhere Once did, but mostly TIFF or Cannes or something like that. But this would be the first one where it just went straight to theaters and dropped and won Best Picture in a long, long time.
All right. So I am doing the tabulations now.
Of course. I think we are in agreement that you are going to take this one. Unless there are some crazy upsets in there, it seems, from what I was keeping track in my head, it looks like you are going to win this one by quite a bit.
Yes, I would say so. So let me do the actual tallies here. But just to, for the audience at home playing along, what are the films in your roster, Dylan?
My roster is Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Past Lives, and Anatomy of a Fall.
Mm-hmm. And mine, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, Holdovers, Zone of Interest, and The Color Purple, with one nomination.
I think my biggest whiff was picking Barbie over Poor Things right away. I should have picked Poor Things.
Very true.
What a mistake. Of course, we picked four.
I mean, ultimately, because Barbie got more nominations, it's also going to get more wins. So honestly, Barbie was the better pick.
You think Barbie's going to get more wins? It's going to win song, maybe production design.
Yeah, that's two. I mean, costume design, we're thinking for Poor Things, but it could go somewhere else. Could go to Barbie. Yeah. And then there could always be an upset elsewhere where Poor Things doesn't get Emma Stone. And then so it might not get any wins, which would be crazy. But it's possible. It is very possible. So yeah. I am continuing to do some tabulations here.
Yeah. Now I hate that we did this before I'd seen most of these movies. God. Made me sad. I should have waited. I should have seen these movies quicker is what I should have done.
Normally we never see like anything about the films. This is like the latest we've done the draft. So
that's correct.
We had the most understanding.
I had the worst amount of understanding, which was only understanding of half the movies. So I was picking the wrong ones because the half that I didn't pick were the ones that I hadn't seen. I didn't pick Holdovers. I didn't pick, not that American Fiction is going to win a lot, but I didn't think to pick American Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it just sucks. It's all right. I mean, I think once you picked Oppenheimer, that was just close to a done deal.
I would say so. I mean, yeah, whoever got Oppie, although you said you were going to pick Barbie first if you got the coin toss.
Yeah, which would have been a mistake. If I had done that, if I had gotten the coin toss and picked Barbie, I'd be kicking myself. So thank God you won the coin toss so that at least I'm not embarrassed or as embarrassed.
So these are the unofficial numbers. I'll do the official tabulation when we do our results show for the Oscars results. Because I was doing it as we were talking through, so I may have missed some. But as far as nominations go, so guaranteed points, I think. I had 31 nominations across my five films, and you had 27.
Close race.
It is a very close race. As far as wins, though, so what... And again, could have mistakenly wrote down some things and lost my place and all that. Mm-hmm. But for the films or for the points, the wins that we both said a film on my roster would get, we had 10 wins.
Oof. That is 10 a big wins. Win. That's 30 damn points. That's crazy.
And then there were two more wins that I thought my films would get that you didn't think my films would get.
Okay.
And then you had one film or you had one victory that you thought I would get that I didn't think I would get. So either way, that would be 11. We would agree on 11 wins that I think films on my roster would get. For you, we agreed on three wins.
Yeah, that's guaranteed. Rough.
And then you gave yourself a win. I forget for which category, but you gave yourself a win for something else. Actually, no, you gave two wins. No, wait, hold on. One, two, three. Yeah, two. So you would have five wins if you got the ones that we both guaranteed and then that you think you would get. So
either way, it seems like you're gapping me by at least 15 points.
Yes.
It seems rough. It's rough.
So yeah, I already have the lead where you need to get two wins because, yeah, we have a difference of 4 points. So you need to get two wins in order to overcome me. But it looks like based on this, I would have 11 wins. You would have 5 wins.
Enjoy it while it lasts.
I would be conflicted, but it looks like I'm going to be taking it with my Oppenheimer sweep. I'm going to be chilling with Chris Nolan in the after parties.
Enjoy the victory while you can, because pretty soon we'll start getting numbers for Dune 2 and some of my other box office drafts. And I will claim dominion once again.
You better not. You better not.
I've got the box office draft in the bag, for sure. Sorry,
we
buddy.
We'll see.
Sorry, I mean, buddy. You're getting destroyed. You're getting destroyed
things,
this year.
Things can change throughout the year, as I very well know. So we will see what happens. But you're off to a good start there, for sure.
Oh, yeah. You're dead meat this year, buddy.
But yeah, let's focus on the here and now. And the here and now is that I'm going to crush you in the Oscar draft.
That's correct. So, I will admit defeat before the show even happens. Unless there's some insane upsets, which is not going to happen.
Do even last time I was coping and I was like, okay, here's how I can win. Here's the path to victory, even though we knew the Everything Everywhere sweep was about to take hold.
Hell yeah.
Do you see any path to victory? I mean, is there?
I honestly don't. Unless Oppenheimer just shits
Oppenheimer
the bed.
Oppenheimer alone is going to like take the dub.
Oppenheimer is what's taking the dub. In the same way that Everything Everywhere Once took the dub for me last year, you're winning it with Oppenheimer. The only hope I have is if Oppenheimer shits the bed and like only Robert Downey Jr. wins or something. But that's not going to happen. Right. It's just not because most of these categories where we were like, ooh, it's close between Oppenheimer and another movie. The other movie was Poor Things or The Holdovers or Zone of Interest, where they were one of your movies. So if you don't get the win with Oppenheimer, you'll probably get it with a different movie, which is what sucks. So unless the Academy thinks that Killers and Barbie were great enough to win some technicals over Oppenheimer and Poor Things, which I don't think is going to happen, there's just no way. Which sucks.
But we will see. It's never done until it's done. So Oscar ceremony, they'll always throw in a few surprises.
Yeah, there's always one thing where we go, huh? What? Huh? You know, it'll happen. But for now, that's all the time we have. If you'd like to give your thoughts on the show, you can email us at theboxofficeshowpod@gmail.com.
Our main title theme for the show is Sundown by Joseph McDade.
If you like the show, please give us 5 stars on whatever podcast app you're listening to, and be sure to tune in next week. Have a great rest of your day.